So let's give all of our Patch and Pee-wee a good hand. I tell you, it's a blessing to see our young kids involved in church, and it's important to start them young, serving the Lord, and using their talents for the Lord. Amen. Tonight, we're going to continue in our series, Things That We Can Learn From Jesus About Personal Evangelism. I want to start in John chapter 7, and then we're going to go to Matthew chapter 10. So if you have your Bible, let's turn to John chapter 7 as we open up the message tonight. I'm just going to read one verse here in John 7, and then we're going to go to Matthew 10. In John chapter 7, we're going to look at verse 13. Howbeit, no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. Tonight, I'm going to be preaching about overcoming fear in a personal evangelism. And let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to go to Matthew 10. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you tonight for our Patch and Pee-wee clubs, and we're thankful for the workers that are helping back there on Wednesday nights and teaching these young kids songs and scripture verses and Bible stories. Lord, we thank you for their investment in our young people. And Lord, we're also thankful for those that have been playing for the offertory on the evening services here this month. And thankful for Brother Curtis and for teaching them. And Lord, we're just thankful for their willingness to serve. And Lord, tonight as we come to your word, Lord, we ask that you would prepare our hearts now, help us to focus our minds and our hearts on what you have for us tonight. Lord, I cannot think of a more important subject for Christians tonight. Overcoming our fear of witnessing to others. Lord, it seems to be a problem today that keeps the gospel from being spread. And Lord, it's an epidemic among churches and Christians, and Lord, I pray that you would help us to learn how that we can overcome fear. And Lord, that you might give us boldness and give us opportunities to share the gospel with others. Father, we ask you to bless your word tonight, and I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I really believe that if most of us were honest, we would admit that we enjoy evangelism the most when the person we plan to talk to isn't home. How many of you have been out on a visit, you're nervous, you're fearful, and you're knocking on the door, and you're hoping the person's not home? Or maybe you enjoy it the most when God allows you to do the praying and someone else do the talking. Or the individual that you plan to share the gospel with has laryngitis, and it would be impolite for you to talk with them. Or maybe you enjoy it the most just leaving the track on the door. You know, the reason could be reduced to one word: fear. One of the questions that was asked at an evangelism training seminar was, what is your greatest hindrance to witnessing? And I want you to know, this was a large group of Christians, people that knew Christ as their Lord and Savior. They were zealous about serving the Lord. But they were asked this question: what is the greatest hindrance to witnessing in your life? And 9% said they were too busy to remember to do it. 28% felt the lack of real information to share. Get this one. None said they didn't really care. You know, I thought that was a good one because if you're a Christian, you should care. If you're saved, you care about other people and about where they're going to spend eternity. 12% said that their own lives were not where they should be. In other words, they wasn't where they should be in their Christian life. That was hindering them. But the largest percentage was 51% who said their biggest problem was the fear of how the other person would react. So fear, no doubt, is one of the greatest hindrances to personal evangelism. We fear failure. We fear personal rejection. We fear disclosure of our ignorance, maybe. We may fear being hypocritical. Fear is real. But how can we overcome such a problem? How can we overcome fear? Can a Christian ever get to the point where there's no fear in witnessing? Well, I want to just say this first tonight, that fear is normal. If you are fearful about witnessing and sharing Christ with your loved ones at Christmas time, if you're fearful about sharing Christ with your co-workers, your neighbors, let me tell you tonight, it's normal. There's nothing abnormal about it at all. It's normal for us to fear. You know, Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, I want to read verse 19. We read this verse a few weeks ago, I believe, where Paul was asking for prayer. He said, "And for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." I mean, here the Apostle Paul, we're talking about a man that when he was at Ephesus, you look at his ministry, it was a bold ministry. It was, he preached, and many people came to know Christ. But even Paul himself experienced fear. There's another verse, I'll turn to 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 3, where he said, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." You know, so Paul, even with the extensive experience and spirituality that he had, he still experienced fear. There's still fear when it came to witnessing. He still asked for prayer that God would give him a boldness to speak the Word of God. And so let's not assume that because we're afraid to witness that we're not spiritual. I don't think it has anything to do with being spiritual, being a strong Christian. It's just part of being human. We're going to have fear. But a second thing we need to realize, not only that fear is normal, but we need to realize tonight that the issue is overcoming fear, not removing fear. I don't think that you will ever get to the place where you remove all fear from witnessing. And I say that from my own personal experience. I mean, I've been a Christian quite a long time. I've been in the ministry 26 plus years. And I'll tell you, there's still times I get fearful about sharing the gospel with others. You know, it's easy preaching to a crowd like this tonight. That's no problem. But when you approach someone, a stranger or somebody out there, even someone you know, it seems like one-on-one is a different scenario. There's fear. And so I want you to understand tonight, I don't think that there'll ever come a time that this side of heaven that we will remove fear from witnessing out of our lives. It's just a matter of learning how to overcome fear. What can we learn from Jesus about it? Well, I want to turn to Matthew chapter 10. We spent so many weeks in John 4, so we're going to go to a different text tonight, to Matthew in chapter 10. And I want to just kind of give you a background of this chapter. Jesus here, he calls his 12 apostles to him, and he gives them some instructions before sending them out to evangelize. And so Jesus, he gave them practically a course here on how to be witnesses. He told them where to go, what to do, even what to say. And this comes, you know, many months before Matthew 28 when he commissioned them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He wanted to make sure that they had some firsthand experience in sharing their faith. And so he's given them some instructions about what to do when they go out. And three times in this final paragraph of instruction, I want you to turn, let's look to these verse 28. We'll pick it up there. But three times he tells them to fear not. Let's read this, verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more value than many sparrows. So Jesus, at the end of this teaching on how to go out and to witness, and he tells them three times, fear ye not. And I think there's three things that we could see here in this passage of how we can overcome fear in witnessing according to Jesus. Let me give you these three things quickly tonight. Number one, we overcome fear with the fear of God. We fight fear with fear. You know, I want you to stop and think about this. The fear of God is a fear that will cast out every other fear in your life. Jesus tells them, fear ye not. He said, don't fear them that kill the body and are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So he's telling them where to place their fear. He said, don't fear the people that you're going to be witnessing to, because, you know, he said, I'm going to send you out as sheep among wolves. I'm going to send you out, and you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be delivered up before councils. They were to expect that to happen. But Jesus said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid about this. Don't fear those that are going to persecute you. Don't fear those that can even kill your body. But fear him that has power, cast both body and soul into hell. You know, we need to fear God. You know, if we fear God, it will help us to overcome fear of others, fear of man. You know, look in verse 26. He said, actually, I should have started there. That's where I messed up. But he said, fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in the light. What you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetop. So he said, don't fear. He said, there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What's Jesus saying? He's saying there's going to be a judgment day. There's going to be a judgment day someday. You know, think about that. You know, if you're a child of God, if you're saved, it's a different judgment than the judgment for the lost. You know, the judgment for the lost is in Revelation 20, it talks about the great white throne judgment. But the judgment of the saved, what are we judged for? If Christ was judged on the cross for our sins, why are we standing in judgment? Well, the Bible teaches us that we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be judged according to our works. It's either for the gain of reward or loss of reward. So stop and think about this. We're going to stand before God one day, and we're going to give account of our stewardship, of how well we used our time, our talents. We're going to give account one day. We need to fear this. We need to fear God, because You know, some people have this idea, well, I'm saved, I'm good, I'm going to heaven. But imagine standing before God and viewing a documentary about your life as He pulls it up, about all the times that He brought people into your life for you to share Christ with and you didn't share. Imagine that. It's a pretty fearful thought, isn't it? Think we're going to give an account to God for every person. We are. We're going to give an account to our service for God. You know, it's Paul, if you look in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 11, 2 Corinthians 5, in this chapter he talks about how that we are ambassadors of Christ and we've been sent out to with this message of reconciliation. But if you back up into verse 11, well, let's just start with verse 10. We talked about the judgment seat of Christ. Here it is. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. You know, the fear of God, Paul had, he said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. He knew that he was going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And don't mistake what these verses are saying. Some people will look at them and say, does that mean that if I don't witness, I'm going to hell? That doesn't mean that. If you understand salvation, you understand it's by grace through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. No one's going to heaven by their works. They're going by the grace of God. It's only through Christ, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a gift. Amen. But stop and think about this. People in heaven. You have people say they're saved by the grace of God, but you have a Christian that is lazy. He never used his gifts. He never witnessed anybody. He didn't serve. He was just happy to be saved. And then you got a person over here that's serving the Lord, sacrificing, using his gifts for the Lord. Do you think that it would be right and just for both of those people to have equal reward in heaven? I mean, let's just stop and think about this. I don't think it would make sense, would it? You know, the Bible does talk about rewards in heaven. The Bible does talk about loss of rewards in heaven. You say, where at, Pastor? Well, let's turn to another one in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians in chapter number 3. He says in verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. And so he talks about the foundation. What is the foundation? Christ. Foundation is Christ, he says in verse 11. You know, if you're built up on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're gonna pass with flying colors into heaven. But there's still going to be a judgment of our works as a Christian. He says here, for reward or for loss of reward. So So Paul, I believe that's what he was talking in 2 Corinthians 5, because he just talked about the judgment seat of Christ, and he said, you know, that knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. You know, there's two ways to look at that. I think Paul was looking at it in the sense of context, the judgment seat of Christ. But there's another sense, maybe he was thinking about also the terror of the Lord upon lost people, where the lost are going to spend eternity. The point is this: how can we overcome this fear and share the gospel with those we love and desire to see saved? Well, fear God. Fear of the Lord. It's something that is a greater fear and can cast out every other fear. You know, Solomon, he said in Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I will add that it's also the beginning of witnessing. We have a fear of God. Let me give you a second truth tonight. If we go back to Matthew in chapter 10, in verse 29, he says that, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? He says, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more value than many sparrows. I don't know about you, but I made it pretty easy on the Lord as far as counting the hairs on my head. But the point is this: overcome fear with confidence in God. Overcome fear with confidence in God. Jesus was trying to calm their fears. You know, he warned them about the realities of the world, going out there, being persecuted, facing councils, and facing even possible death. But he said, I don't want you to be afraid. I want to calm your fears. I want you to realize that not one sparrow falls to the ground without your Father. You know, I preached on this a couple of weeks ago on Wednesday night, and about God's providence, God's sovereignty. That's just mind-boggling, that something as insignificant as a sparrow, that Jesus said that not one sparrow would fall to the ground dead without the Father's knowledge, without the Father's care. And in using that illustration, he said, fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. So what's Jesus trying to say? The Father, he cares about you. You're of more value than sparrows. Father knows when you're out there witnessing. He knows what you're facing. We need to replace that confidence in our Father. Confidence in His care will help us overcome that fear. You know, there's a verse in Peter, 1 Peter 5:7. He said, casting all your care upon Him, for He cared for you. You know, a care is a burden. It could be fear. Cast that fear upon the Lord. Rest in His love. Rest in His care. You know, our Father is not only aware of all the dangers we could face in witnessing, but He's present with us. You know, in these verses later on in this chapter, He reveals that. Actually, let me go back. It's up before this. In chapter 10, verse 19, He says, but when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak. For it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Amen. The presence of God with us when we're witnessing. Stop and think about that. You know, when Jesus sent him out in Matthew 28, he said, you know, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. He is with us. The Lord is with us. We know that He cares about us. We're more valued than sparrows. He knows every step that we take. Why do we fear man? Why do we fear what man can do to us? He said, don't fear man, fear the Lord, fear God. Rest in his care. Have confidence in the Lord. We need to put more confidence in God than we do in ourselves. A lot of times our fear has to do with the lack of confidence. We think, well, I don't know what to say. I'm afraid I'll mess up. As I've been preaching on these Sunday nights, that you learn by doing. Experience is essential. You're not going to learn by disobedience. Simple as that. If we disobey God and don't go and be witnesses as he's commanded us, we're simply not going to learn. He's not going to help us learn. It's only as we are obeying the Lord that the Lord's going to help us. He's with us. We can rest in him. He's going to give us even the words to speak. That's what the Bible says. Let me give you a third truth. We overcome fear with the love of God. Here in verse 37, toward the end of this time of teaching, before sending out the 12, he says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Love is a very, very powerful emotion. As a new pop, I know love is a powerful emotion. Some of you that are grandparents, you know that. Some of you that are parents, you know that. Some of you that are married, you know that. Love is a powerful emotion. You know, our mother, just as an example, a mother seeing her child out in the backyard and seeing some stranger out there seeking to endanger her child, I guarantee you that that mother would overcome her fear of that stranger and go protect her child. I guarantee you, her love for her child will overcome her fear. There is no doubt about it. I want you to look at, this is a biblical principle, by the way, in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. He said, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. I want you to notice this phrase, perfect love casteth out fear. Perfect, what does he mean, perfect love? He's talking about a love that's become mature and complete. You know, when we grow in our love to God to the point to where we love God more than we love mom and dad, when we love God more than we love our own children, when we love God more than we love our wife or our husband, that's a mature love. It says, perfect love casts out fear. You know, when we understand God's love and we accept his love and we believe in his love, you know, our love for God, it will help us overcome fear every time. I mean, when you go out there to witness and you're fearful, like I said, it's normal. Don't try to remove it. It's normal. Just expect fear to be there. But focus on God's love. Focus on what he did for you. Focus on the fact that someone loved you and told you about Christ. If someone didn't love you and tell you, where would you be today? You'd be lost on your way to hell. It's because someone cared enough to talk to you about Christ. Think about the love that God has for those lost people that you're talking to. How much He cares about them, what He thinks about them. You know, in Matthew 9:36, when He looked on the multitudes, the Bible says Jesus was moved with compassion. Compassion that moved Him. Told His disciples, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He'd send forth laborers into the harvest." His compassion and His love for lost people wandering about as sheep without a shepherd caused Him to tell His disciples, "Hey, I want y'all to do something for me. I want you to pray that God would raise up laborers and send them out with the gospel." It was because of His love and compassion. And listen, if we love God, we'll want to please God. You remember Jesus? What did He say in John 14 or John 13, I believe it is? One of those chapters, I can't remember. He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments." You remember when Peter and John and John in Acts 4, they were in the temple witnessing and they were arrested. Later, they were threatened. They were told, "Don't preach Jesus anymore." I want you to understand that the people that threatened them, the Sanhedrin, was the very people that delivered Jesus up to be crucified. I mean, we're not talking about just some common Joe out here on the street. We're talking about somebody that had power and influence. Enough power and authority that they could end John and Peter's life. I love what Peter said. We ought to obey God rather than men. I'm sure Peter was afraid. I'm sure he had fear. But he overcome it for his love for the Lord. He said we ought to obey God rather than men. There's a story in Luke chapter 5, and I'm going to turn over there. You can turn if you would like. And Jesus was preaching the word of God there by the lake of Gennesaret. There were two ships there standing by the lake. The fishermen were gone out of them. They were washing their nets. He entered in one of those ships, which is Simon's, and prayed that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. But it says in verse 4, when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down a net." And when they had done it, or had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes in their net break. And they beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. You know, there's a lesson in this story that the Lord was teaching these early disciples. What's the lesson? Obey. Obedience. You know, Peter said, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net." You know, he said, "Lord, even though we've been out all night," these were experienced fishermen. They've been out all night, we've caught nothing. But he said, "Nevertheless, Lord, it doesn't make any sense, but because you said it, we'll do it. We'll go. And they caught this miraculous catch. And the point is this, as I've said, obedience to the Lord. If we love God, just be obedient. Just go. Just tell the story of Jesus. Just tell people about the Lord and watch God do great miracles like he did for them. I mean, it didn't even make sense. I mean, here it is in the daytime. There's no way they're going to get any fish at this time. They fished all night. They caught nothing. But when they obeyed the Lord did something miraculous. You know, I want to tell you that in personal evangelism, more than half the battle is won by beginning. By just beginning, by just being obedient. You think of a little child that's trying to learn to walk. In fact, none of us here tonight would be walking had we not taken that first step. I think our biggest mistake in personal evangelism is not trying or saying nothing. We can overcome fear. We may not remove it, but we can overcome it. I believe Jesus taught that here. He told them three times, fear ye not. Fear ye not. Don't let fear paralyze you from witnessing. He said, you need to fear God more than you fear man. More than you fear witnessing, you need to fear God. And then you need to put your confidence in God. He's with you. He cares for you. You're more valued than sparrows. And he certainly cares about those lost people out there. And overcome this fear with love for me. You know, this that's a great challenge of how he put that. And he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He wants us to love him supremely more than we love ourselves. More than we love ourselves. If we can focus on Christ like I preached this morning, we can just look upon Jesus, focus on him, what he did for us, what he sacrificed for us, and he's the one that's commanding us to go. I think it will help us a long ways toward overcoming our fear of witnessing. You know, you think about the Bible, you know, how that he says there's more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents and over 99 righteous men. Wow. I mean, there's joy in heaven when a sinner's saved. Think of how important it is to God. I mean, look at Jesus. Look at how important it was to him. He came to seek and save that which is lost. My prayer is that God would stir us up to be witnesses. We may not be perfect, but start. Just start. Maybe sharing a gospel tract. Asking simple questions about that person. Pray that God help you lead that conversation along to Jesus. I believe with all my heart, if you pray and you go with a heart of obedience to God, out of love for God, he's going to help you. Because I've seen it time and time again. Let's stand tonight. We're going to pray. Our Father and I, we're so thankful for your love for us. We're so thankful that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to sacrifice himself for our sins, to pay for our sin debts, to take our place on that cross. I'm thankful that he's alive today, that he's able to save, even to the uttermost, them that would come to you through him. Lord, if there's someone here tonight that has never trusted Christ as their Savior, I pray that tonight they realize that Christ is able, that Christ is waiting and willing, if they'd only take that first step and come to him. Just like Peter cried out, "Lord, depart from me, I'm a sinful man." Just like that publican prayed, "Lord, save me. Be merciful to me, a sinner." Lord, you promised in your word that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we come believing in our heart, believing that Christ died and that he rose again, we call upon him in faith, you promised you'd give us eternal life. And then, Lord, I pray for every Christian here tonight, Lord. You've called each and every one of us to be a witness, to let our light shine, to tell others about Jesus. And oftentimes fear hinders us from doing that. Fear is what keeps the gospel from spreading and what keeps family members and friends and co-workers from knowing Christ as their Savior. Father, I pray that you'd help us to apply these principles of overcoming fear. Lord, that we would fear God more than we fear people. Lord, that we would place our confidence in you, Lord, knowing that you have called us, you have equipped us, you have sent us, that we can trust you to lead us and guide us and open doors and open hearts. And just as you told the disciples, "Fear not, from henceforth you shall catch men." Lord, that we might be obedient disciples and that our love for you, Jesus, would overcome our fear, just like a mother's love for a child would cast out her fear of danger to save her child. Lord, tonight I pray that you'd work in our hearts, Lord, that you'd have your way and your will. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.